From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell, getting this hour of old-time radio underway with an episode of the adventure series Escape, starring John Daner and Parley Bear. From September 27th, 1953 on CBS, it's The Untouchable.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are walking the streets of an Indian city. Terrifying, sweltering streets. While the man you fear has already made his mark on you. A mark from which there can be no escape.
So listen now as Escape brings you James Leal Henderson's frightening story, The Untouchable.
It was a shame about Rydell's having to go to India. It was a shame about the leprosy, too. He was a little man, balding, pale, and in his early 40s. He was fussy and precise, an absolute fanatic about cleanliness. So you can see he was the last man on earth to send to India, even with his wife Prudence along to take care of him. Rydell and I were thrown together on a job. We met for the first time in the Hotel Imperial in Delhi. He was a chemical engineer, and I'm a construction engineer. We'd been hired separately to look over the possibilities of a chemical plant in India. It was a job I needed badly. I've bounced around the globe a lot. Asia's not too bad when you get to know it, but Rydell... Well, the poor guy was in misery. He was right out of a Cleveland suburb and terrorized by a germ. We had been in New Delhi a week, and I couldn't move Henry Rydell out of the hotel, even for business. He'd walled himself off and just sat brooding about India's squalor beyond the window. I'd worked my head off for the two of us, getting things set up, and then it came time to go on tour around the country and look for a plant site. I went to his hotel room one afternoon. He was standing at the open window, looking down at the street.
Hello, Fred. Back, eh?
I've been in 14 government offices. Count 'em, Henry, 14. But we're squared away now. Oh, boy, I'm knocked out.
I'm sorry, but I just didn't feel up to going with you today.
Yeah, I know. How do you feel? Take all your pills?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'd feel a lot better if that snake charmer would stop playing that screechy pipe. It's been driving me crazy. And those cobras being so near.
And believe me, Henry, those are the sickest snakes on earth. They wouldn't bite on invitation. Why don't you just tell him to go away?
He's filthy, Fred. I wouldn't go near him.
He doesn't want to dance with you. He wants money. Well, I'll get rid of him. Hey, snake, Walla. Here you are, Walla. A nice fat rupee. Now, no more music. Understand? No more. Go.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we can talk, Henry. First, how about a drink?
Sure, Fred. I'll have one with you. Scotch?
Yeah, fine.
Fred, I'm afraid I've only got one glass left that's been put in boiling water.
Just give me a glass, Henry. Any glass will do.
You should be more careful. A British fellow was telling me yesterday...
The whiskey will kill the germs, if any. Look, Henry, I know you've asked the company for a replacement, but we haven't got time to wait for him. You're going to have to go on this trip yourself.
I...
You'll have to.
We made an agreement.
I know, but nobody told me it was going to be like this. Nothing safe to eat. Water buffalo. Who ever heard of eating a water buffalo? And the vegetables will kill you if you touch them.
No, let's not go through that again.
Oh, hello, Fred. How are you? You look tired.
Oh, hello, Prue. I am tired. Rough day. Yeah, that's a nice piece of ivory.
Isn't it? Buddha. It's very old. I wanted you and Henry to see it. I bought it down in the bazaar.
How can you stand it down in those dirty bazaars?
Oh, Henry, don't be silly. Well, if you two are going...
No, I'd like you to stay for a minute, if you will, Prue. I think you ought to hear this. I just told Henry that we can't stall on this trip one day longer, so I've bought two tickets for tonight's flight to Bombay. That's going to be our first stop.
Tonight? Yeah. I won't do it, Fred. I just can't. Jumping around this terrible country, you can never tell what'll happen to you. And what about Prudence? No, Fred, you've got to wait. I just don't feel well at all.
We've got a job to do, Henry. Now, pull yourself together. Prue can't come. Accommodations are tight, and we'll probably have to travel around the sticks. It's fairly primitive sometimes, and it just won't work with her along. I'll take good care of you. We'll boil everything. We'll boil the whiskey, if you insist.
How long do you think it'll be, Fred?
Oh, 3 weeks maybe, no longer.
3 weeks?
Henry, it'll be all over soon, and we'll be back home.
Yes, but Prudence, I just don't feel right about this. I'm afraid.
You must go, Henry. Fred's depending on you. We'll be ready, Fred. I'll pack for him.
Well, we got off all right, with Prudence pushing from behind. We flew down from Delhi and landed at the Bombay airport at first light. Then we climbed aboard the airline bus for the long ride through town to the Taj Mahal Hotel. Good Lord, it was hot. Vicious. The air was pure steam. Couldn't breathe. And on the walks, the homeless were beginning to stir. Thousands of them. No place to live. No place to go. The human wreckage of Asia.
Oh, it is so hot.
Bad. No, it is just before the monsoon. Well, we'll get us an air-conditioned room, Henry. A cool bath. Nice mango for breakfast.
Fresh fruit? Oh, not for me.
Taj is a good hotel, Henry. And Bombay is pretty modern, even with all the poor you've been seeing on the streets. You'll see. Well, come on. This is it. It's a nice, cool bath waiting.
Fred, look.
What? Oh, yeah.
Bakshi.
Poor devil.
Bakshi.
Fred, look at him.
Bakshi.
What is it? I've never seen anything so horrible. His hands, look.
He's a leper, Henry.
Bakshi.
Come on, he won't hurt you.
Fred, don't let him touch me. Don't let him.
Come on, Henry. I'm hot and I want to get out of here. Now, come on.
Bakshish for a sick man, sahab. Sahab. 1 rupee, sahab.
Here. Take it easy, Willa. All right, Henry, let's go.
Oh, Fred, his hands. They were horrible.
After seeing the leper, it was 3 days before I could drag Henry Rydell out of the hotel for a business meeting in town. And when I did, he clung to me like a little boy lost. But we did make some headway in our plans, and I felt more cheerful after the meeting. I talked Henry into having dinner in a Chinese restaurant a few blocks from the hotel. The place was spotless. The food was good. Henry stoked up on rice, and I almost caught him smiling once. Then afterwards, we sauntered back to the hotel through the dark, stifling night. Well, that's the first decent meal I've seen you eat in India, Henry.
It was good. I'd like to eat there again tomorrow, Fred.
Sure, why not?
But of course, you never can tell. The bugs might be anywhere. I'll take some tablets when we get back to the room.
Yeah, you do that. Now, you outwit those bugs every time, Henry.
Oh, say, look... Here's a store Prudence would like. Nothing but ivory. Fred, wait a moment, will you? I want to look.
Sir, Master Bakshi for a sick man.
I'll look back. That same poor devil of a leper had moved out of the darkened doorway of the store and was pawing Henry.
No, no, get away from me. Don't touch me. Please, please, no, leave me alone. Don't spread his hands. They've touched me.
Here, voila. Voila, pick him up.
For heaven's sake, get away. Get away.
Thank you, master.
He touched Fred right on my skin. He touched me.
Come out of it, Henry. Nothing's going to happen.
Sir, look. See? Fire no hurt.
Oh.
Don't look. Come on, let's get back to the hotel.
Fred, his hands. He can hold the flame to them and feel nothing. And he touched me with them. He rubbed me on the bare skin, on my hands and here, on my arm and wrist. I felt it, Fred. I felt it rubbing into me.
Henry, believe me, you don't catch leprosy that way. Now, nothing's going to happen to
you. I've got to wash.
Right now, I've got to wash.
Henry washed all right, thoroughly. He washed for half an hour. This I didn't mind, but as I turned and twisted in bed through the hot blanketing night, I could hear him. Every few minutes, washing, washing. He kept it up day and night. Wherever we were, washing harder and harder. He scrubbed those places on his arm and wrist with a brush until the skin was rubbed raw. For 2 days it went on like that, but I let it pass. I didn't say anything. I needed him for the tour, good or bad. Gosh knows he wasn't worth much in that state, but he was docile. Nice and docile. Nothing seemed to bother him so long as he had a place to wash. Henry, you're clean enough for tonight. You've got to grab some sleep.
If I keep at this thing, maybe I can prevent infection.
If you keep at it, you'll wear your arm away.
No, I figure if I just scrub down in there below the skin, I'm sure to kill it.
Henry, we're pretty well finished up here in Bombay. Tomorrow I thought we'd shove off for Bangalore and look around.
Sure, Fred, that's fine by me, anything you say.
A day there ought to be enough, and then Madras. The way things are shaping up, Madras may be the spot for the plant. Henry? Madras. I thought we'd stick around Madras about a week.
Okay, Fred.
Yeah. I thought you might wire Prudence and ask her to meet us there.
No. No, I don't want to do that. Not now.
Why, Henry?
There's no point in it. I'd rather she stayed in Delhi until this tour is finished. She's used to it there, Fred, and there's no telling what you and I will be doing.
Why, Henry?
I don't want Prudence to come. That's final.
All right. Just forget it. But, Henry, listen to me. Please. Stop worrying about that leper touching you. Nothing's going to happen.
We will return to Escape in just a moment. But first, tomorrow night, the Lux Radio Theater brings Joan Fontaine and Charlton Heston to its microphones, co-starring in The President's Lady. It's the true scandal-ridden story of President Andrew Jackson and his wife Rachel, with Joan in the title role and Charlton as Old Hickory. That's on the Lux Radio Theater. The same night, CBS Radio stars Mr. John Hodiak in Suspense's production of Hellfire. Yes, tomorrow night on most of these same CBS radio stations. And now, back to Escape.
Madras, South India. A warm, wet wind off the Bay of Bengal. The ceaseless rustle of the cocoa palms outside our hotel, and the inevitable snake charmer with his toneless pipe. I worked hard in Madras. Maybe too hard. I didn't see that Henry was cracking up badly. But don't get me wrong. He made good sense. And on the business side was perfect. When I said yes, he said yes. Anything I didn't like, Henry didn't like it either. Ideal for me. He had the big reputation from the States which the Indian people wanted, and I ran the show. I was hoping to nail down a deal right there. A day or two more, and we'd be all set. And it had been a long time. A long, long time. But, as I said, poor old Henry. Coming apart. One afternoon, I was going over plans in our room.
Yes, I understand.
Then, with the plant here, we'd have to put in a railroad siding leading somewhere through just about in here.
Oh.
There's room for a landing strip just to... Henry, what's the matter?
Nothing.
What the devil are you up to? What are you doing to your arm?
It's all right, Fred. Nothing. Go ahead with the plan.
No, I want to see. You've been pinching yourself. Henry, for heaven's sake.
I want to make sure that I can feel it when I pinch myself. Sometimes I don't. Fred.
Henry, now, sit still and listen to me. And try to get this through your head. You haven't got leprosy.
Oh, yes.
No, there's not a chance in a million or even 10 million that you've got it.
Yes, but that man...
I know the leper touched you, but the disease is just not that contagious. If he rubbed you all night with his hands, you wouldn't get it. Now, take my word for it.
There are exceptions, Fred.
Yeah, maybe, but I doubt it. And you're not one of them anyway. Now, Henry, believe me. There's not a chance in the world of your having leprosy. And if you did, you wouldn't know it for years.
But I catch things easily, Fred. I always have. And when I pinch myself here on the wrist real hard, I don't feel a thing. Honestly, up here I can feel it on my arm, so there must be something.
I'm going to get a doctor.
No, Fred. No, please. He might send me to one of those awful colonies here in India. I might never get home.
I'm going to get a doctor.
No. Fred, I believe you now. I don't have it. I couldn't have it. You don't have to get a doctor.
Okay, Henry. We'll let it go for now. But forget leprosy, will you? Just hang on to yourself for a few more days until we get this deal set, and then everything will be fine. Did I say everything would be fine? Just how wrong can you be? I wired Prudence in Delhi and told her to hustle down to Madras on the first available plane, and meanwhile I just played for time, but there wasn't enough of it. Then one night I woke up when I heard Henry moving about during the quiet hours of the early morning. His bed lamp was on. What is it, Henry? Henry, what's the matter?
Fred, I have it. I'm diseased. I have leprosy.
No. Go back to bed, Henry. Please. We'll talk about it in the morning. Everything will seem different in the daylight.
It won't help to talk about it. I've got it, that's all. I'm unclean. Fred, I'm a leper. A leper.
Please. Henry, try to sleep.
Oh, Fred, I can prove it. Watch. See, I don't feel a thing. The flesh is dead.
No, stop that. Stop it, Henry.
I'm diseased. A leper. An untouchable.
No, you're not. You're Henry Rydell, an American businessman from Cleveland, Ohio, with an obsession. You're all right, Henry.
Here, you do it, Fred.
No.
Here, stick me with this. Anywhere on my lower arm. I'll show you. I don't feel it.
Henry, stop it.
I know I'm diseased, but I won't touch you, Fred. Just stick me with the pin as deep as you want. Do it, Fred. Do it. Go on. Stick me.
Stop it!
I'm a leper.
Yeah. I guess that's right. Will you try to sleep now, Henry?
Yes. I'll sleep. I'm tired. But, Fred, you won't tell anyone about this. I mean a doctor or anyone like
that. No, of course not.
It's got to be our secret, Fred. Not even Prudence can know. You see, they might try to send me to one of those colonies, and I couldn't stand it, Fred. Fred, you promise?
I promise, Henry. Now go to sleep.
When this deal is signed for you, I'll just disappear, Fred. I don't know where yet, but nobody will ever hear from me again.
I got up early the next morning to meet the plane from Delhi. Prudence was coming. Thank heaven she was coming. Henry was still sleeping like a stone. I left quietly, praying to get back with Prudence before he waked. I was scared and, well, I didn't like myself much. I had dragged Henry into this appalling mess and then let it get out of hand because I wanted that contract. I wanted to make a buck. On the way from the airport to the hotel, I tried to break Prudence in gently, but the simple fact that I and not Henry had wired her was enough to convince her that something was seriously wrong.
Fred, please, you can stop beating about the bush. Just tell me, what's wrong with Henry?
Well, Prudence, he has an obsession. He thinks he has leprosy.
Oh, no.
He's not in his right mind, Prudence. You got to be prepared for that.
But why didn't you send for me sooner, Fred? Why didn't you?
Well, he didn't want me to.
He doesn't want to see me. But he's needed me so much all our lives. All I've ever done is take care of Henry. At home, I always...
Prudence, now, try to understand. This isn't home. It's India. And Henry thinks he's a leper. At the hotel, Prudence and I hurried to the room. But the door was locked from the inside.
Henry! Henry, open the door! It's Prudence! Henry! Henry, please open the door!
I know he's in there.
Oh, I want to help you, darling. Please let me in. Please!
Prudence, go away. Go back home.
No! No, I want to see you. Please, let me in.
It's no use, Prudence. Forget me. I'm unclean. Go back home.
Henry!
You've got to forget me, Prudence. Don't you see? I'm dead. For you, I'm dead. I'm finished.
Oh, Henry.
Henry Riddell is dead.
I went after a doctor then, fast. Fortunately, there was one with offices right in the hotel building. Nice-looking young fellow, an Indian, dark and slender, and he wore Indian rather than European clothing. It certainly wasn't very coherent, and a perplexed expression came into his face. But he took up his kit and came along with me. We may have to force our way in, Doctor.
So? This is a very strange case, Mr. McAllister?
It sure is. Now, here we are. Anything happened, Prudence?
No, he won't even answer me anymore.
Henry! Henry! Well... Henry!
See? I don't feel the fire... Part of me has died. Who's that? Fred, who's that Indian?
Mr. Rydell?
No. Don't you come near me. Don't. You've got it, too. You all have disease. Leprosy, and I've got it. Get away. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. No, Fred. Brutes. Don't let him touch me. Don't let him touch me, Fred.
That was it. End of chapter. Dr. Padaswami shot him full of drugs, knocked him out. A few days later, Henry Rydell left India by plane and on a stretcher, tied down, too. But Prudence was along to take care of him. As for me, tough. I lost the contract. Deserved to, I guess. The way I treated Henry, dragging him around India in that condition... End of chapter, but not quite the end of the story. I knocked around Asia for months after that, and all the time I wondered how poor old Henry came out. But never a word. Then one day I found myself back in the States again, in Cleveland, as a matter of fact. I went out to see what had happened to him. Henry was not in a leper colony, nor even an insane asylum. Henry was in front of his own house, raking leaves. He looked older, but otherwise fit enough. Funny thing, though, I said hello, and he said hello, and then he said...
I have to go in now.
But Henry, no, wait a moment.
Yes?
Well, I just want to tell you that I'm glad you're well again. You don't know how glad. It's a load off my mind. Henry, you remember me, don't you? Fred McAllister.
Yes. I remember you.
How's Prudence?
Prudence is in good health, thank you.
Fine. Happy to hear it. Well, aren't you going to...
Oh.
What's the matter?
Nothing, huh? I'm all right.
Henry had grabbed his left arm as if it had suddenly been scalded and burned. And you know what it was? An ant. A tiny ant crawling on the skin. Feeling had come back to his arm all right, with a vengeance.
Well, I have to go in now. Goodbye, Fred.
Bye, Henry. I'm glad to see you home again.
Under the direction of Anthony Ellis, Escape has brought you The Untouchable, a story by James Leal Henderson, starring John Daner as Fred and Parley Bear as Henry. Featured in the cast were Joan Denton, Jack Crucian, and Charles Davis. The special music for Escape was composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week...
You are in your house, surrounded by all that is secure and normal. While outside, your children are playing a new and wonderful game, the result of which will mean for you a fate from which there is no escape.
So listen next week, when Escape will bring you Ray Bradbury's terrifying story, Zero Hour. Tomorrow night, when Arthur Godfrey beckons to the new talent scouts and their discoveries, you'll meet Ed Stroll, a popular songman, Martha Flowers, who has a way with semi-classical songs, and the Fletcher Peck Trio, as unusual a novelty group as you've heard in a long, long time. They're all potential winners on Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts. Yours for fun and human interest, tomorrow night, on most of these same CBS radio stations. Be sure to hear it. Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts. This is Roy Rowan speaking.
It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. Wrapping up the hour with some classic comedy, and one of the first names many old-time radio fans think of when they think of comedy, Jack Benny. This broadcast is from February 6th of 1938 on NBC. Jack is late.
J-E-L-L.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with In Old Chicago. This is the shortest month of the year, but even so, there are plenty of days to enjoy Jell-O. And plenty of ways to enjoy Jell-O, too. For no matter how you serve it, plain or combined with fruits or topped with whipped cream, Jell-O is always delicious. That's because it's crammed with delicious extra-rich fruit flavor. a luscious, satisfying, real fruit taste that makes Jell-O America's favorite dessert. No other gelatin dessert brings you Jell-O's extra-rich fruit flavor. No other can top it for sheer, delightful goodness. All six flavors are equally tempting: strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. But just be sure to insist on genuine Jell-O when you buy. Don't accept any substitutes. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. That was an old Chicago from the picture of the same name, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you...
Hold it, Don. Jack isn't here yet.
Well, not here yet? Well, are you sure, Phil?
I didn't see him. Did you, Mary?
No. Have you looked under everything?
Yeah.
Well, that's strange. I wonder where Jack can be.
He was here last Sunday, if that'll help.
maybe he met somebody on the way over and they stopped off to eat.
Now, it wouldn't take him that long, would it?
It would if the other guy didn't pick up the check.
I think you better call up his house.
Yeah.
Number, please.
Operator, get me Hollywood 3981 and hurry up, hurry.
Oh, keep your shirt on.
Hello, Mr. Benny's residence.
Hey, Rochester, is Mr. Benny there?
Yes, sir, but he's still in bed.
Bed? Well, now, you go and wake him up and tell him the program started.
Is he on it today?
Why, of course he is. You better get right down here.
Okay, but I hate to wake him up just for that. Doggone, why don't they let that man rest? He sure looks happy there. He must be dreaming about a blonde.
It's a brunette.
Hey, Mr. Benny. Mr. Benny.
Hello again. Oh, good morning, Rochester. Good morning.
Morning? Man, morning came and went and almost is again.
My goodness, is it as late as that?
Yes, sir. Mr. Wilson just called up and said...
Wilson? Hey, I've got a program to do. Rochester, this is a fine thing. I thought, told you to call me at 12 o'clock.
I was out playing polo then.
Well, put down your mallet and help me get dressed. I got to rush over at the studio. Get me my underwear.
Here you are. Ain't you going to take a bath?
I haven't time for a bath. Anyway, I can miss one day.
Okay, but I better dust you off.
Never mind that. Give me my socks. You know, the gray ones without the holes. And give me a shirt, too.
You want a clean one or are you going to wear a muffler?
Well, of course I want a clean one. Gosh, how could I oversleep 8 hours? If you ever let me do that again, Rochester, you won't get that raise I promised you.
There goes nothing.
Is that so? Look, and I'll answer the door. Get me my shoes. They're under the bed. All right, I'm coming. Yes, sir, what is it?
Pardon me, I have a package here for Mr. Homer Truffle.
Homer Truffle? I'm sorry, but you got the wrong place.
Sign right here, Mr. Truffle.
Look, I'm in a hurry. I'm not Homer Truffle. I don't even know Homer Truffle.
Well, you should. He's an awfully nice fellow. Goodbye.
Everything happens when I'm in a rush. Hey, Rochester, where's my necktie?
Ain't you going to shave? Your whiskers are kind of long.
I haven't got time for that. I'll just put a little powder on.
That ain't going to fool nobody.
Now, mind your own business. Give me my hat and coat. I'll answer the phone. Hello?
Hello, Jack. What's keeping you?
Oh, it's you, Mary. I'll be over in a few minutes. Keep the program going.
All right. But, oh, Jack, I must tell you, the funniest thing happened a few minutes ago.
Well, what is it, Mary?
Well, Phil Harris was showing Don Wilson how to play a new card game.
Yes.
And now Don is the orchestra leader.
Oh. Are you all playing the game?
I'll say. Kenny just won my new hat. You know, the one with the red feathers on it.
He did. Is he wearing it?
Yeah, he thinks he's an Indian.
Me, heap big chief.
Fine Indian. I'll scalp him when I get to the studio.
I wish you would. I want my hat back.
Well, hang up, Mary. I got to finish dressing. I'll be right over.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. I knew something would happen if I wasn't there. Hey, Rochester! Rochester!
Right here, boss. Here's your hat and coat.
Okay. Where's my wristwatch?
Your what?
My wristwatch. Where is it?
Oh, you don't want that.
I do, too. Rochester, where is my wristwatch?
You mean that no good little thing that never keeps time?
Rochester, where is my wristwatch?
You could have lost it, you know.
Rochester, where is my wristwatch?
Okay, here's the ticket.
I thought so. Why, Rochester?
You're the third degreeest man I ever worked for.
Never mind that. You pawned my watch. How much did you get on it?
$8.
$8? Yeah, I could never get over $5.
Next time I'll go with you.
Yeah, next time wait for the laugh, too. Well, I'll take this up with you later. So long.
Goodbye, boss.
It's a fine butler I've got after all I've done. Oh, taxi, NBC studio, quick.
Hey, Mr. Benny!
I'm in a hurry, Rochester. What is it?
Ain't you gonna wear no pants?
Pants? Well, of all the... Wait a minute, driver. I'll be right out. Gee, I hope the neighbors weren't looking.
That was Let That Be a Lesson to You from Hollywood Hotel, played by Don Wilson and his Jolly Jello Jorchestra. And, Don, I couldn't have done worse myself.
Well, I don't know about that, Phil. At least the boys in the orchestra followed me, didn't they, Mary?
Yeah, I wish you'd have gone home.
Say, that's a pip. Look, I'm an Indian.
Quiet, Song and the Puss.
Hello, fellas. Well, gee, I'm sorry I'm late.
Hey, you got here.
You know, this is the first time I've ever overslept that much. Imagine, 18 hours.
The Sandman must have slugged you.
And say, Mary, the most awful thing happened to me. I was in such a hurry, I rushed out of the house without my pants. And I had to go back, I didn't put them on. I tell you, I was never so embarrassed in my life. Imagine going out without my pants.
Well, just turn them around now and you'll be all set.
Oh. Well, I can do that later.
Say, Jack.
What?
You know, the same thing happened to me once.
What's that, Kenny?
I got up at 6 o'clock one morning to go to work and put my pants on backwards.
Uh-huh.
And then I walked by the mirror and thought I was just coming in, so I went back to bed again.
I bet you must have felt silly, huh?
And then when I went to bed, I put my pajamas on backwards and thought I was just getting up.
Oh, quiet. Go over in the corner and play Indian.
Okay, white boy.
Say, Phil.
Yes, Jack.
What's this I hear about Don winning your orchestra from you?
That's his tough luck.
I know, but gee, what are you going to do now?
Don't worry about me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to breeze by a grocery store, Why don't you walk in and say to the clerk, listen, Shorty, slip me a couple of boxes of Jell-O, will you?
Jell-O, eh? What flavor, sir?
All six of them, Baldy.
Okay, Kinky. Say, Kink, you kind of go for Jell-O, don't you?
Yeah, man.
Why, Phil, that was marvelous. Did you hear that, Don? Not bad, huh?
Oh, he used a stooge.
Yes, but I wasn't any good.
Oh, cheer up, Don. After all, you did lead the orchestra. Say, how were you anyway?
Well, Jack, we started off pizzicato, ripped through the allegretto, and when we got to the crescendo, believe me, Jack, it was fortissimo.
It was? What does he mean, Phil?
Don't ask me. I'm a civilian now.
Oh, well, anyway, a change like this is good once in a while. Believe me. Come in.
Special delivery for Mary Livingston.
Oh, it's from my mother.
How do you know? You haven't even seen it. Probably isn't from your mother at all.
It is, too.
Oh. Well, Mary, open it up. Let's hear what the Plainfield Mrs. Fiddler has to say.
Just a minute. Sign here, please.
Oh, yes. Here, bud, here's a tip for you. You got change for a quarter?
No, I left my wallet on my yacht.
I never heard such impudence.
Oh, why didn't you give him the whole quarter? It wouldn't break you.
Mary, you know that's an eagle on a quarter, not a homing pigeon. Well, why don't you open the letter?
Okay.
Well, that's a novelty, a wooden envelope. What are you laughing at?
Look at the way Mama starts her letter. Plainfield, New Jersey. February 1st.
That's starting out good already, huh? The old... Well, go ahead, now.
My dear daughter, Mary, received your letter and thanks very much for sending us a check for our anniversary. You shouldn't have done it.
Well, that was sweet, Mary.
I gave your father the check to send back to you, and he has a brand new suit to prove it.
Oh.
We celebrated our anniversary by going to a movie. We saw Thoroughbred Don't Cry with a swell kid acting it named Macaroni.
Macaroni? That's Mickey Rooney. Macaroni.
Your Uncle Otto, who dropped in for Thanksgiving and stayed 4 months, has promised to leave next Thursday. He better, as your father put a time bomb under his bed.
Well, that's one way of getting him out.
I think your father means it, as he has already ordered a new roof.
Well,
I must tell you what happened yesterday. Your brother Hillard swallowed his harmonica, and now we can't get him to play anything unless we put a nickel in his nose.
Commercial little fellow, isn't he? Go ahead, Mary.
You remember how much trouble your sister Babe had with her eyes? Well, the doctor said she doesn't have to wear glasses anymore.
That's good.
We think she does. She came in the house last night and said, "Hello, Papa," to the gas stove.
Oh, well, that's awful, isn't it?
We didn't want to make her feel bad, though, so this morning we cooked breakfast on your father.
Well, that's just trying to be funny.
No other news?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll close now. Give my love to the whole gang and say hello to Jack. Your affectionate mother, Bubbles Livingston.
Bubbles? Well.
P.S.
Oh, gee, more stuff, huh?
Please ask Kenny Baker to sing by Mere Bits of Shane, as he is the only one who hasn't done it yet.
Hey, she's right at that. Hey, Kenny, do you know by Mere Beast of Shane?
Oh, I think I do. How does it go?
You know, by Mere Beast of Shane, so let me explain. Dum, 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 da, dum, 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 dum. You get it, Kenny?
What's left of it?
Well, sing it. Play Phil or Don or whoever owns the orchestra.
Again, I'll explain.
mean? It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella, even say in the Bari slang we'd only help me say how grand you are. I've tried to explain by mere bestouche that today you are. All the girls I've known, and I've known some, until I first met you, I was lonesome. And when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and this whole world seemed so divine. Bella, even say, Undabari sang, we only helped me say how grand you are. I've tried to explain by mere beast to shame. So kiss me and say you
understand. That was By Mere Beast Duchesne, sung by Kenny Baker. And Kenny, for a song that's been kicked around as much as that, it certainly sounded great.
Thanks, Jack.
And that kid gets sillier every day.
Oh, say, Jack.
Yes, Don?
You know, I've been wanting to ask you something all evening, and I just remembered what it is.
What is it, Don? Said he, slipping gracefully into a new routine. What, Don?
Well, now, Jack, you were out at Santa Anita Racetrack last Friday, weren't you?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I was just wondering if you had a bet on Playmay. You know, the horse that paid $673 for a $2 ticket. Boy, what a horse.
That's not a horse. That's an annuity. No, I didn't have a bet on her, Don, and I'm sorry you brought it up. I've been sick about it ever since. You know, I had a hunch to play that horse. I had it on my mind for days.
I'm surprised you didn't, Jack. You're always looking for a bargain.
Well, I tell you, Phil, I'm disgusted with myself. You were there, Mary. Remember that horse that paid 673 to two?
I'll say I had it right on the nose.
That's right, you did, yeah.
Gee, that was a marvelous price for a horse to pay. Who was the jockey?
Santa Claus.
I can't understand why I backed out on it.
Huh? Well, what made you change your mind, Jack?
Do you really want to know what happened, Don?
Yes.
Well, this is positively pathetic.
What was it, Jack? Tell us.
I'll do better than that. I'll show you. The scene is the Santa Anita racetrack 10 minutes before the first race last Friday. Take it away, Santa Anita. Gee, it's sure crowded here today, isn't it, Marion?
Yeah. Are you going to bet on anything in the first race, Jack?
Look, Mary, I've got a hunch on a long shot, a horse called Playmay. Well, that horse ought to pay 100 to 1.
Don't tell me you're going to bet a whole dollar.
A dollar? I'm going to bet 2. That's what I think of her.
Must be love.
Now, listen to this hunch. The horse's name is Playmay, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, for years, I've been saying Play Phil, haven't I? You get it? Play Phil.
Yeah, but the horse's name is Playmay.
All right, Smarty, I'm not through. What month was I born in?
February.
Well, can't you see? It's only 2 months from February to May. Playmay. I tell you, I can't lose.
Oh, Mary. I don't know.
And not only that, but look how it works out. The horse's name is Playmay. Now, spell May backwards.
Y-A-M. Yam.
There you are, yam. And you know I'm crazy about sweet potatoes. I tell you, Mary, it's in the bag.
Well, I don't care. I'm going to bet on the favorite, Negret. I got a hunch, too.
Negret? What's your hunch?
Well, I've got 2 knees, and I feel Gret today.
Now, that's silly. Well, anyway, I'm going over to the window and bet on Playmate. That's the horse, believe me. Now, you wait here, will
okay.
you, Mary?
Okay.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Kenny. Say, who have you got in the first race?
Well, Jack, I don't know much about picking horses. Gosh, I don't know whether to bet on City Slicker or Brenda. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't know what to tell you, Kenny. Of course, one horse is a gelding and the other is a filly, you know.
What do you mean, Jack?
Well, one is a male and the other is a female.
Oh, are there two kinds?
Look, Kenny, I can save you a lot of trouble. Just bet on a horse called Playmate. It's going to come in and pay you a fortune.
She will?
Sure. Take my advice, Kenny. Put $2 on his nose.
All right. Lend me $2, will you?
Kenny, I'm not a finance company. See you later.
Hey, Jack.
What is it, Mary?
I was just talking to Bing Crosby, and he said you shouldn't make any bets till the fourth race.
Why?
Then you can lose your money on his horse.
Well, I'm not going to put any more money on Crosby's horses. I bet on one last week, and he stopped right in the home stretch and sang, I Surrender Dear. I didn't mind that so much, but the jockey was playing a bazooka. Now, listen, Mary, I'm going over this window and bet on my original hunch, Playmate.
Okay, see you later.
Yes, sir. Plenty of money and you and bound. Doggone, this horse can't lose.
Hey, buddy, come here a minute, will you?
What is it?
Now, listen, pal, I'm going to give you a tip that's so hot you can fry an egg on it.
I'm sorry, mister, I've had breakfast. Besides, I'm putting my money on Playmate.
Playmate? Why, that nag couldn't win if you put a diesel engine there.
Oh, yeah?
Take my tip, buddy. Play the favorite, Negrette.
The favorite? Negrette, huh? Do you think he'll come in first?
Why, he'll be dancing at the Trocadero before the rest of them hit the home stretch.
Gee, say, maybe that is the horse for me. Are you sure Negrette will win?
Cross my heart and honest engine.
Well, that's good enough for me. I'm going right over and bet on Negrette. Gee, I'm glad I met you.
Wait a minute, buddy. Got a cigar?
Only the one I'm smoking.
Well, that'll do. So long.
Didn't have to jerk it out of my face there. Here's the window. Hey, mister, give me a $2 ticket on the...
Hey, get in line, you.
Sure, that's what I say, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, lady. Gee, everybody pushing and shoving and...
Hey, mister.
What is it?
Will you please hold still? I've been trying to pick your pocket for 10 minutes.
Now get away from here. I'm ticklish.
Well, come on. What'll it be?
I want a $2 ticket on Negrette.
Win, place, or show?
To win. No, wait a minute. Make it to plays. That's it. No, look. Better make that show. That's it, the show. Yes, that's better.
Okay, Reckless.
Here's my $2.
Thanks. Well, let go of it.
Well, don't rush me. I may never see it again. Hey, Mary.
Yeah?
I just bought a ticket. I changed my horse to the one you had, Negrette.
That's funny. I changed mine to Playmate.
You did? Well, why didn't you tell me? Gosh, I don't know who's going to win.
Well, the race starts in a couple of minutes. Let's go over and grab a hot dog. I'm starved.
Okay, but I won't enjoy it.
Hey, buddy, come here a minute.
What do you want?
I got a hot tip for you in the first race. A horse called Barcarolle.
Barcarolle? You just told me Negrette was going to win.
Oh, well, you're the guy. Pardon me.
Sorry I came out here at all.
Oh, come on, Jack. Let's grab a hot dog.
Hey, it's too late now, Mary. The horses are lining up.
Well, I'm hungry. Here's a stand right here.
All right. Hurry up, mister. Give us 2 hot dogs and plenty of mustard.
Okay, here you are.
Here's a quarter. Keep the change. Come on, Mary. Let's get up close to the rail. Huh?
Wait for me.
Gee, I'm nervous. I wonder if I did right in switching from Playmate to Negrette.
You'll find out.
Gosh, I'm excited. Mary, give me the binoculars.
Here you are.
Thanks. Mary, that's the hot dog. Now my face is full of mustard. Darn it. Huh?
Go on, that's the healthiest you've looked all year.
Is that so? Give me your field glasses. Look, Mary, Negrette is number 7. Gee, that's a swell position. When they break, he'll be on the outside.
There they go.
Gee, there they go, Mary.
Come on, Playmate.
Hey, Blake. Sun Price takes the lead. Miranda second by 2 lengths. City Slicker third by a length and a half.
Come on, Negrette.
Come on, Playmate.
They're coming into the half. Sun Price is leading by 2 lengths. Miranda second and Barcarolle third, but moving up fast. And here comes Rosalie from the picture of the same name.
Rosalie?
Come on, Playmate.
Hey, where's Negrette?
At the 3/4, it's Miranda in the lead. Negret second.
Come on, Negret!
Barcarolle third, July 4th, and Louis the 16th.
Louis the 16th, that's a mistake.
Well, I'm only human.
It's a fine race.
Look, they're coming out of the stretch.
You said it, sister. Verinda first mile length, Playmate second, and coming up fast.
Playmate! Oh, my $2. Why didn't my bet on her?
Come on, Playmate, come on!
Gee, I'm afraid of love.
And here's the winner. It's Playmate, first by a nose.
Hooray! Hooray!
Yeah! Hooray!
You see, Don, that's exactly what happened to me last Friday at Santa Anita.
Oh, that's too bad, Jack. You should have followed your hunch.
Why, certainly. Come in. Say, buddy, I got a hot tip for you in the second race. You can't lose.
Oh, it's terrific. Away, will you play?
If you're looking for a swell new dessert that's delicious and tempting, here's the answer. It's called Apricot Bavarian Cream, and it's one of the grandest desserts you've ever enjoyed, made with luscious strawberry jello, whipped cream, and apricots. And here's what you do. Dissolve one package of strawberry jello and chill until slightly thickened. Then fold in 3/4 of a cup of whipped cream, a cup and a half of cooked apricots, mashed, and a half a cup of sugar. Mold until firm, and you have the swellest dessert you've seen in a long time. It's a rich, creamy rose color, and it's a perfect flavor combination, for apricots and strawberry jello taste simply grand together. Just be sure to make your apricot Bavarian cream with genuine jello, for there's only one jello, and only jello brings you that delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor. Ask your grocer for Jell-O.
This is the last number of the 19th program in the new Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. And the moral of our little playlet is, never bet on a sure thing unless you're sure it's a sure thing. What's that, Mary?
Your horse just came in.
I knew he'd come through. Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L.
Kenny Baker appears on the Jell-O program through courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. My name is Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com, and our blog and website is at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. You've been listening to program number 1905. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.